This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive. Kierkegaard Harrison back tomorrow. JB and Colleen with Rob Brenton. Training camp eve, so to speak. We have this, college football. I mean, I don't know what to do with myself. I have no idea what to do with my hands. I mean, it's just way too much good stuff. I got NFL Network on, the Cowboys out in California. By the way, they're one of 27 teams, one of five teams in the National Football League holding their training camp away. Of course, we'll be in Hard Knocks as well, but only five teams in the NFL are holding training camp away, and the Chiefs are one of those teams. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, you hear them tomorrow. Yeah, less than 24 hours, it begins. The quest for yet another Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs begins, and I cannot wait. I've been hoping for football season, waiting. Last year was so much uncertainty. We got it. Let's enjoy it. But right now, let's play the hits.
From the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go. Well, the top story of the day in Kansas City and really across the entire landscape of sports is the rumors that Texas and Oklahoma could be flirting and joining the SEC. There is a AD and CEOs meeting right now with the Big 12 to determine what happens next. But, Bank, my question for you is this. What's the local angle? Because if OU and Texas jump ship, what does that mean for Kansas and Kansas State as the remaining schools in the Big 12?
You know, obviously, there's a ton of interest in those two said schools in Kansas City. It's hard not to know. So, I sent my own kid to Kansas State. I get it. I live in Missouri. I get there's an attraction in this town for K-State to KU. A lot of alums live amongst us. And, yeah, they see it and they go, well, you know, we've always had the Big 12 because you've always had a form of the Big 12 going back to 1907, whether it's the Big 8, the Big 12, you name it, but it's always been a staple of our community. Hell, the Big 12 tournament's a big deal in Kansas City. You fly into the airport, there's a sign, welcome to Kansas City. You've had big games and matchups in the Big 12 at Arrowhead, like KU, K-State, or KU in Missouri, excuse me, KU. And then, of course, Farmageddon with K-State and Iowa State. There's been a lot of fun. Kansas City's been a Big 12 town. And I know Missouri bolted to the SEC. Now it's looking really smart, isn't it? Look, if you had your doubts and you were mad at the Tigers for going to the SEC, now you know why. They were being proactive. 10 years ago, this conference almost blew up. They made their own mistakes by not adding to this conference. You got to keep Oklahoma and Texas happy. It's kind of like the stay-at-home, right? Mom ain't happy. Nobody's happy. Well, Texas and Oklahoma are the mamas, and they didn't keep them happy. And now they want to go to the VIP club, the section of the club where Missouri sits right now. It'll be interesting to see if they end up going. But for KU and K-State, there's uncertainty now. Is the Big Ten going to come calling? Is the Big 12 going to be able to survive? Doubt it. Is the Pac-12? You bet your eye at them. They have 12 teams. They have the room for you. Like, you want to see him go somewhere. Like, I desperately want to see KU and K-State stay in the same conference. I want to see Iowa State get it. Well, I love watching Matt Campbell and what he's doing. Same thing with Texas Tech, Baylor, all that. I want to see these teams deal. Let me put it that way. Baylor, you name it. I'm used to it. I'm a Big 12 guy. I'm used to it. But it's not going to be the same, Rob, unfortunately. Things must change, you know?
Two.
Well, another big story in the landscape of sports which affects the locals is a memo went out earlier today. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network says the memo went out to NFL teams stating what would happen if players who are unvaccinated led to problems and potential outbreaks in the NFL season. Some highlights: the infected team would have to forfeit. They'd take a loss for their playoff seeding, and they would face a financial penalty plus possible additional sanctions if protocols were violated. Players on both teams would not get paid if there was an outbreak based on unvaccinated players, which has caused a lot of NFL players to head to Twitter with their displeasure. Bink, do you think it is fair for the NFL policy to be get vaccinated or get in trouble?
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, it is a private company. They can do whatever the hell they want. I mean, we all deal with rules. Wherever you work, there's certain rules, and you have choices in this world whether to work there or choose other employment somewhere else. So NFL players no different than the rest of us. That's their job. That's their profession. They're football players, and they work under the branch of the NFL. Listen, they got all 256 games in last year. Now it's up to 272 because they added the week. But they still found a way to do it. Not going to do it anymore. They're tired of it. So it's college football. They've already said, hey, we're not rescheduling. You'll take the L. You got to forfeit. But where I know players are going to have a problem is if they have to forfeit their checks. Now, Rob, I was under understanding it was only the team that had the forfeit that had to lose their checks. You selling that it's everybody now? Okay. Well, that's going to piss some people off. So if you're team A in the NFL and you're supposed to play team B, but team B has to cancel the game, yes, it's good you get the W. The bad news is you don't get your game check. That part, I think, sucks. And I can understand why the players would probably be pissed. It's no doing of their own, but they're not getting paid for said week because the other team can't field a team and play. Yeah, that would be worrisome. But then again, it would also be worrisome if you're on that team and you're saying, okay, I make big money every week and I can't play this game because you are ineligible or can't because the protocols play this game. There's going to be friction. You start taking people's money, that's where friction happens. But the other team, they're going to be pissed as well. Rob, we're going to see some players mad at each other. Of course, the NFL just railroads the NFLPA. They don't care. They just don't. I think it could get very interesting with some cancellations. Let me put it this way, Rob. I don't think they're going to be singing Kumbaya together, these teams, when you start taking money out of their pockets. I mean, who the hell wants money gone? Nobody. That's what we live for, Rob. What do you think Texas and Oklahoma want to leave for? They want to leave for money. It's what we do things.
Well, speaking of the NFL, our friend Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride has officially, on the eve of camp, put out his projection of the Chiefs' 53-man roster as we prepare for the 2021-2022 NFL season. Bink, he had 10, count them, 10 offensive linemen on his roster. Got any beef with Big Sween carrying 10 O-linemen?
You know, I like Pete Sweeney's list, and I'd certainly tell you if I didn't. Because I like to go round and round with Pete. We have a lot of fun. Pete, of course, is going to be back again this year with us, a partnership with Arrowhead Pride. We have Arrowhead Pride Radio, 6 o'clock on Wednesdays. Pete and I will have a lot of fun there. But actually, I agree with most of the selections. Could they keep 10 linemen? They might, because that's the position group that needs help the most with depth, which they certainly have, because they have bona fide starters that will be backups on this team. I mean, hell, if Creed Humphrey wins the job at center, you got Austin Blythe. You're paying less than $1 million. Of course, you keep him on your team. You got him for this year. So, yeah, then there's rookies like Trey Smith. Can they make it? You got veterans like Mike Rimmers on this line. We haven't even seen what Lucas Niang is all about. Can't see. I mean, keep in mind, Lucas Niang opted out last year, although I personally think he would have been put on the pup list last year. That's why he slipped in the draft of the third round, because there was injury concerns. But what's he going to bring to the table? Obviously, he's got a nasty disposition when he plays. Hell, Chase Young, one of the best young pass rushers in the NFL when he was at Ohio State, said Lucas Niang, when they squared up in college football, was his toughest opponent. But no, I think Pete might be on to something. Prince Tegeuanohu may go down to the practice squad at some point. I don't know. But Nick Allegretti, you know, he's coming in hungry. But 10 offensive linemen, I didn't think they'd go in with 10, but it's certainly a real possibility with this offensive line, making sure that position group is bulked up.
Four.
Well, our fourth and final hit today will be about the actual Kansas City Royals, the only local team currently playing right now. That's all the news today has been about teams that aren't actually on the field. But they made a move earlier today. They sent down Ryan McBroom to AAA. They'll make a corresponding move tomorrow. Bink, considering the hitting or lack thereof from Jorge Soler, were you surprised to see Ryan McBroom go down and Jorge Soler remain on the Royals roster?
No, because I'm not sure. I mean, I like McBroom a lot. I mean, think about it. He's got three pinch hit home runs with his team. Did it last year. You know, Hearn finally tied him for the most ever with his team. McBroom's got 18 home runs in Omaha. Leads him again. That's AAA. Big difference. I get it. 49 ribs, hitting 271. He got his chance, but he came up during a National League Series with Milwaukee, and, well, you got to have the pitcher hit. So that was unfortunate. But Soler did give him a couple home runs, and I've heard from a couple people, right? Like Soler, he was going to hit a couple bombs in the series, and yet the Royals would have another decision on their mind because, well, let's not sleep on Jorge. He's got 9 home runs at this point. It's kind of like Dozier. People don't believe it, but the guy's hit over 340 this month. I mean, sometimes guys do change. I think with Jorge Soler, it's going to be about the trade deadline coming up on July 30th. It used to be 31st. It's the 30th because they don't want guys leaving the middle of the game, Rob. I don't know if you know that, but they don't want guys leaving the middle of the afternoon. They want to protect the players, which that's all part of the fun because they don't want somebody in the first row going, "Hey, Jorge, you've been traded." Like, they don't want that. They don't want Twitter because everybody's on their phones. Everybody's saying what's going on. They don't want that. But maybe, just maybe, they're holding out hope they can get something. Something for Jorge Soler is better than DFA, which is exactly where he was headed. But if you can get anything at all at this point, maybe that's what they do. McBroom will be back here with the Kansas City. He certainly earned it. I mean, we've seen guys get escalated in the pipeline. Look, did you see Nick Prado or Bobby Witt Jr. yesterday? Hits it inside the Parker up at Omaha. People are wondering, okay, what can Bobby Witt Jr. do from AA to AAA? Well, he's done nothing but destroy things up at Omaha. MJ Melendez continues to crush things at AA. 20 home runs. We'll see these guys eventually. I think Bobby Witt Jr. stands the best chance to actually get to the Major League club. I think they might hold off on Nick Prado, to be quite honest with you. Just remember Moose and Haas. You know, Moose went a year before Haas, but yet Haas came up about a month before in 2011 than Eric Hosmer. But I think they want to see Jorge continue to hit, because what he does in August and September doesn't matter at all. You might as well move on to what you're going to have next year, because he's not part of the plans. But if you can get something out of nothing through the 28th or through the 30th, which is what, Rob, 8 days away, I think, because, you know, you like to ask Rob, 8 days? You're the smart one here.
Yes, 30 okay. minus 22 Thank is 8. You. I got you.
Thank you, Rob.
They also didn't want the deadline on a weekend, by the way. Another little note for you.
Huh?
I'm pretty sure they didn't want the deadline to be on Saturday either.
Saturday. They wanted that on Friday. And also, the big thing was protecting the players, because, again, they didn't want the rumor swirling. Remember Wilmer Flores when he was traded with the Mets? We thought he was. It didn't go through, but he started crying.
I remember. That was 2015. That was the Royals year, wasn't it?
Yeah, Wilmer. And he started bawling because he was leaving the Mets. Like, they don't want that. There's no crying in baseball, man. I'm shocked he didn't have Sporting KC as one of the topics. Knowing you, Rob, Mr. Nutmeg Podcast, Mr. Soccer Podcast,
I mean,
here at
I
610.
Got,
which, by the way, listen to that podcast. Really good stuff. If you're, I'm not a big soccer guy, but I like listening to Rob.
Sporting KC was in action last night, but the hits are designed to make the host thrive. I thought throwing you something about the questionable VAR call in the
you
box
don't know
probably
me.
Not the move.
You don't know me.
I thought Chiefs 53-man roster is a better hit for you, my guy.
It is. You don't know what I watch. I support the local teams.
What'd you watch last night, buddy?
I watched some Sporting.
There you go.
I didn't watch the whole thing.
No, that's fair.
You know, I watched Team USA when they were playing. You know,
I mean, that back on Sunday night.
You know, the only problem with the MLS is you never know who's going to play that day. I mean, with, you know, guys getting relegated, or not relegated, but getting traded off over to Europe, the injuries, whatnot. Like, that team last night was not who I'm used to watching. Am I wrong here?
No, that's, and it doesn't help that they take their, they have to send players off internationally in the middle of the season.
You start liking this kid, and all of a sudden he's going to be gone. Where the hell was he?
I mean, he's playing for the national team. He'll play on Sunday.
Exactly.
Can't double dip.
And that's what sucks, man. I get it, man. A lot of these guys play internationally or whatever on different countries. The guys are on a bunch of different rosters. But it's hard for me to get into something, Rob, without the certainty. Like, I need certainty, man. Like, when I watch the Chiefs, I want to see Patrick Mahomes not sit here and go, well, he could be moving off to the English Premier League, you know. No, he didn't do it. He plays for the Chiefs.
Speaking of certainty with the Chiefs, this is actually great segue by you. You'll be up at camp on Saturday and Sunday. You got your binoculars, your Bushnells. They're actual binoculars.
And they're on my bed. I got them out.
You got them fired up. You got ready to roll.
Clean
and they're actual binoculars and not just, you know, a flask.
No, it's a real deal,
it's
man.
It's a real deal. I have some flask binoculars. That's not a here or there.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
Can I borrow those too?
But what position battles are you looking forward to watching this weekend, Bank? Because you're Mr. Watch Everything. What do you got your eye on Saturday and Sunday? What are the position groups you're looking
at? Okay, for the National Football League, I want to see where Aaron Rodgers goes. Okay, that's first and foremost, because he was supposed to decide this week and he hadn't, all right? So that's on the National Football League side. On the Chiefs side, it's the offensive line, man. It's the guys that, let's face it, they're typically the smartest guys on the roster. I mean, look at their Wonderlic scores, Rob. I don't know if you're going to buy in this or not, but and I know you did terribly in the 6'10 combine, but the linemen typically are the smartest group of guys. They're the guys we don't talk about, but the guys we should talk about. Well, you don't want to see them get penalties, but the one thing I like about what the Chiefs have done with the drafting of Creed Humphrey, with the signing or the trade of Orlando Brown, with the signing of Joe Tooney, there's a common theme amongst those guys. Not getting penalized and not giving up sacks. I mean, those are only two things you really want from your offensive lineman. Don't give up sacks. Don't get the quarterback hurt. Let Patrick Mahomes stand back there and thrive. Connect with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, DeMarcus Robinson, McCoy, whoever. Let those guys thrive, but don't have penalties. Because penalties have been an issue at times. You know, sometimes the Chiefs do squirt up there, and that's the worst feeling in the world. Coming back. Big play, coming back. Well, I will say this. Knock on wood. The track record of these gentlemen they brought in, that's not part of the track record. But you know what? This isn't previous years where you worry about the backup punter, the backup quarterback, whatever it is. But there's actual real competition on the line, and I like that. I'm glad it. You know what's funny is, Robbie, you asked me this question with the offensive line. And I remember back to being at the Big 12 media days when Bill Snyder was at K-State. He had the same line coming back, right? He had the same exact line coming back. And somebody brought up the question to Bill. I think they might have called him Bill. I don't think they said coach or Mr. Snyder.
And then he stormed off.
No, but he stayed. Like, Bill stayed. Snyder stayed. But Bill Snyder was asked, how do you feel about having the same offensive line coming back? And he was like, that sounds great because you know what you got coming in. But again, where's the competition element? Like, if guys know they have their job, you think, are they going to still fight for the job? Yeah, a certain part of this line. Like, Orlando Brown knows he's got his job. Joe Tooney knows he's got his job. These guys, their position's set. The depth chart's set with those guys. But other jobs are up for grabs, like center. Could Creed Humphrey be that center to knock through? A lot of people have already anointed Creed Humphrey the starter. Certainly that would be cool, that connection with Patrick Mahomes, you know, because Mahomes has never really had a guy to rally around at center. You know, he had to deal with Kilgore sprinkled in a little bit last year. He had to deal with Austin Ryder, who's, by the way, still a free agent, which is really baffling, Rob, because he was a top 50 free agent on the NFL.com. But Austin Ryder, before he started for Mahomes, had one start in the National Football League. It happened when he was with the Cleveland Browns. He filled in that day for Cam Irving. But he was hurt. He got hurt in that game, but he started for Mahomes. But seeing the synergy between the quarterback exchange, it's like it's weather excited in L.A. with the Chargers. Why Corey Lindsey, who's Aaron Rodgers' center in Green Bay, is now a member of the Chargers. But to see that battery, like, that's something cool. But then again, I can't discount Austin Blythe because I think he's going to be a factor in two positions. If he doesn't win the center job, he'll go fight for the right guard. That's where he started in L.A. He did both with the Rams, center or guard. He comes in the equation. You got Nick Allegretti, a Super Bowl starter from last year. Still wants to prove his worth. This dude's still hungry. He's got a chip. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif sat out a year. Had to watch the Chiefs on television. You know, he's working out outdoors with snow and everything he'd put on because that's the only place he could go. Hungry, watching the Chiefs, seeing them get back to the Super Bowl, wanting to be part of that group. So he's coming back hungry for this team. You got Trey Smith, who's got a serious chip on his shoulder, as he should, from slipping in the draft. And I think the world, I really like Trey Smith. I like listening to him. I like when he talks. I like him talking about taking the wheel out of different opponents and the satisfaction he gets in that with Jeff Swartz. Now, he's still a nice guy. He's a great guy, but he knows the switch. And that's kind of my theme with this offensive line, the switch. Man, I guess, I mean, I know Vern's got nicknames for different series or whatever, but it's the switch. Because this offensive line, technician-based, yeah, Tooney, technician-based, but this team has a touch of nasty. They're kind of mean. Like, they may be nice guys off the field, but on the field, they're protecting Patrick Mahomes. And they know that. They know they're playing for the Chiefs. Again, this Chiefs team is the same way we used to look at the Steelers, same way we used to look at the Patriots. When you come to this team, it's about production. It's about performing. This isn't training wheels until you're ready to roll like in Detroit. This isn't training wheels like you're ready to go like Cleveland was for all those years. Or Miami. It was still trying to find their way. No, you're supposed to come up here and thrive and succeed because, especially on the offensive line, I mean, you have guys like Patrick Mahomes in that huddle. You've got Tyreek Hill, a top three receiver in the NFL. You've got the greatest of all time in Travis Kelce in that huddle at tight end. And certainly Mahomes, league MVP, Super Bowl MVP. You know, his story's not even begun to be written yet. And you have Andy Reid over there on the sideline with the same coaches, with Bieniemy still here. The league's loss is our game. The league's loss, I know people in Kansas City, I did too. I wanted to see Bieniemy get a head coaching job. I think he's earned him, but he's back. So that's a net positive. So not only the players, but the net positive is also this coaching staff. They're all back. Spags back. Dave Merritt, Sam Madison. They've shuffled. Greg Lewis went from wide receivers to running backs because Dylan McCullough went to Indiana. But again, you talk about the running backs coach. Lewis knows these guys. They'll be fine. But the key cast of characters are back for this coaching staff. And that's to be appreciated. It's under-talked about in the National Football League. You're not going to see List on coaching staffs. You might see play callers and Andy Reid where he's on the list. But the fact you have the continuity of coaches that have been the three straight AFC title games, that have been the back-to-back Super Bowls, that are wearing a ring, you don't see this in professional sports. What's going on here is something unheard of. It's something not talked about. It's unusual, but to have the coaches back again this year. I mean, it's no mystery to me why Andy Reid found himself in the Super Bowl, why Nick Saban won a national championship in college football. Pandemic, bring it on. These guys have been there, done it. They don't make excuses. They're about business. And the business at hand is how can this offense improve? The offense can improve. This team can improve by the offensive line. That makes everybody better. Makes Clyde Edwards-Helaire a better running back. Gives Mahomes the time in the pocket. Time to hit Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Not that he's had a problem with that in the past, but it opens up flexibility of your offensive line. You're not as worried about making play calls now to the right or the left, because keep in mind, he's still got to be solid on the right side. A lot of the elite pass rushers will line up over the right tackle. They don't just say, well, they pay all their money to the left tackle. Let's put our best pass rusher over there. No, teams don't go by that mantra. A lot of tackles go by on the other side. But it makes the whole team better. And Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy can create plays now because they're not so worried about the pass rush coming in or there, because you hope the line is solid, that it's built, that it's going to stand up to the opponents. And you're able to basically call whatever you want. You don't have to really change the playbook because there may be a leaky line on the left or the right, moving guys over from the left side that were on the right side and vice versa. You don't have to deal with that now. So, yeah, the question is, how can the Chiefs' offense get better? Because I've seen this brought up quite a bit in the offseason. It's just the line, man. It's the line. Andy Reid's got more flexibility. Bieniemy, Mahomes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire that I think will really thrive this year, to be quite honest with you. Because, yes, that offensive line is going to help the quarterback, but, man, it should help Clyde that had over 1,100 yards a total offense last year despite missing games, and he gets the extra game. Yeah, sign me up for the offensive line, Rob. You asked what I'd be watching. That's what I'll be watching. Yes, pass rush is fun. See what they're going to do, going to create. Watching Nick Bolton's progression, which I do think is the next Derek Johnson. Just don't tell Derek that. Although Derek will be a regular guest on 610. Sports Radio, but who, by the way, was my favorite Chief, to be honest with you. He was. Derek Thomas before that, but, you know, always liked DJ, but I think Nick Bolton will hopefully make you think twice about what he can do, because he's all about business. and I appreciate that. Coming up next, though, we'll take a look at the big story of the day, and that's the college football landscape and the ever-changing. Have you seen any news out from this meeting, and they haven't leaked it yet?
Only news I have out on the meeting, the Big 12 CEOs and ADs are meeting, is that Oklahoma and Texas, not on the meeting. Not in the meeting, according to sources.
Really?
Only 8 teams are at this meeting. Oklahoma and Texas both declined to go to the meeting. That is according to Pete Thamel. They are not expected to join the Big 12 call this evening, and they, according to Brett McMurphy, not join the call. So, the Big 8, talking right now, the two teams that are the big in the news are not on the call.
Yeah, this thing's 100% true. Enough coaches have said it. this thing is getting more interesting by the day. But yeah, they what are they? Whataburger something?
That'd be a good place to hold this. But I believe they are on a Zoom or a teleconference. But yeah, that is the news of the day. No Oklahoma and Texas. We'll get back into that later.
Shocker. By the way, I told you there's a Whataburger coming to Northland, didn't I?
You're gonna call it a Northland spot, like you do Jefferson's.
It's a good chance, my man. There's a good chance. Anyway, landscape of college football, especially the Big 12. They're going to dismantle this conference? Maybe. We'll talk about that next.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, Carrington back tomorrow. Training camp, you know, I'll mention it again. It starts tomorrow. I kind of like it, Rob. I just saw Cream Dog who'll be in the night with Unocero. He's from St. Joe. Like, he gets it, man. He knows the impact of training camp in that city. You know those minivans from Overland Park, jamming the kids in the car seat, summer break, getting up early in the morning, heading to St. Joe to watch practice. You know what happens, Rob. You know I-29 is full of it. They're full of people traveling up to St. Joe. I'll be one of them. 9 to 1, live Saturday morning, and then 9 to noon with Dustman on Saturday. Sunday, 9 to noon, talking Kansas City Chiefs. Who's in the best shape of their lives? I'll try to stay away from that, though. I've tried to stay away from the best shape of their lives. I don't stay away from it. And by the way, did you see those Ben Roethlisberger? Like, he still had a donut, bro.
I mean,
they said he's in the best shape, lean and mean. I was like, he's got a donut like a lot of people our age do, you know?
I mean, he went from tight end looking to thick quarterback look. So he trimmed some.
He still had a good year around the waist, though, bro.
Listen, he looks better. I wouldn't say he looks trim, but he looks better.
But to say lean and mean, come on, man. It's
lean and
mean's
dramatic. I mean, if lean and mean's 260, he's lean and mean.
What the hell am I?
No offense, Bing. I don't think anyone's ever said lean and mean. But you know what? You are going on Saturday, and you're going to enter best shape of your life season. Who do you think the first player is going to say I'm in the best shape of my life is? What guy's in the best shape?
None of them. I don't think any American going to say it. Where the hell's my energy drink, by the way? You see it?
I don't know what I did with it.
Maybe I left it in the bathroom or something. Damn it.
is that what you were looking for?
That's what I was looking for. I can't find it. This concerns me. I still got a show to do here. Where's it at? It's like my crutch, you know? Where's my energy drink, you know? It's like, where's my coffee? By the way, Brett McMurphy, who covers college football. These guys covered college football forever. He works for the stadium. As Rob said before the break, Oklahoma and Texas officials not currently on the Big 12 call with the ADs and the team and the presidents, the CEOs. He goes like this, though, Rob. Perhaps another sign OU and Texas decided to leave. No! You don't say. The two teams are Texas and Oklahoma that aren't taking your phone call. Do you think they answer the phone at Texas and Oklahoma and go, new phone, who dis? Like, do you think that's what they do? Or do you think they answer, like, Pizza Hut, Domino's? Oh, Bowlesby? Who's Bob? Who's Bowlesby? Regardless, if you haven't heard the news, I'm sure you have. If you're a K-State fan, if you're a KU fan, get your head on a swivel. Grab your popcorn, because that's what the rest of us are doing in watching how this thing unfolds, although you have a stake in the game. If you're Kansas or Kansas State, with Texas and Oklahoma leaving, let's be honest. The Big 12 is on life support at this point. It is, and it's their own fault. It's Bob Boolsby's fault. It's 100% on the commissioner, even though, you know what, I'm going to take a little bit away from that because he did want to expand and nobody else wanted to expand, but Boolsby was about to expand. So I'll give him credit for that, but he's got to assert his authority. They're not telling Greg Sankey what to do in the SEC. But anyway, here's Bob Boolsby from last week at Big 12 Media Days about conference realignment. Oh, cute little story, right?
It's really mute on that question. Conference alignment is always at the discretion of the conferences. But you have to remember the last time around, the last round of conference realignments was all driven by cable households. And we find ourselves now in a rapidly shrinking cable environment.
Real quick, do you think Boolsby has cable or do you think he streams?
I would imagine he has both cable, his cable, but also streams ESPN Plus. I assume he pads the bottom line.
Because his kids or somebody showed him?
Probably.
100% he's a cable guy, which I am too, by the way.
And it is much less driven by capturing a particular cable market because, if it's an in-market fee, you get a lot more money for it than if it's an out-of-market fee. So the more you can include those things, the more revenue you're going to derive from it. That motivation is essentially gone. And the cable universe has shrunk 20 million households already. It's going to continue to shrink as we migrate to digital consumption and streaming. And so a lot of the motivation for realignment is no longer there. Is that to say it couldn't happen? No, it could possibly happen for other reasons. But it doesn't appear to me that the motivation is there at this point in time. Not to say it couldn't happen, but it's not one of the things that keeps me up at night.
Not one of those things that keeps me up at night. It does now, right? Because right now, I'm sure he's on the call. Because the big question from Kansas, Kansas State, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU, where we go? What we do? What's the next plan? I mean, you've heard there's been reports of flirtations with the Pac-12 now. Again, conferences like the Big Ten, the Pac-12, ACC, they're circling around like vultures who we want to pick off. Who's got the biggest market? Who's got the most TVs? Who is more the national brand of the teams that are left? Because obviously, Texas and Oklahoma carry that with them as they really make the Big 12 an even better and better conference, or excuse me, the SEC a better conference than it's already been. But does it keep him up at night? Come on, man. I mean, when you hear these things, this is what should bother you. As a fan of the Big 12, a fan of what this conference has meant to this town, is they weren't more proactive. And whether you want to blame Boolsby on that or not, certainly Stuart Mandel that joined Cody and Gold today wasn't 100% on board with that, thinking that Boolsby actually was okay with the expansion of the conference a couple years ago when they were talking about like Memphis and UCF and Air Force Academy, Colorado State, you name it. But here's what he had to say about pressure on Boolsby.
Bob Boolsby wanted the Big 12 to expand in 2016. He'd never come out and say it because the presidents are ultimately his bosses. But he strongly, when they were going through that period where they didn't make the playoff the first year, they didn't have a championship game, there were 10 teams. David Borden said they were psychologically disadvantaged. They went through that whole process where they auditioned schools and everything. And I think he firmly believed, like, they should expand. They should try to make their league better. They shouldn't, as long as you stay at 10, you're very vulnerable. They didn't follow that advice. The presidents really like getting the big checks that they do. And now here we are. But, I mean, I think the big question is Bob Boolsby stood at a podium in Dallas last week and somebody flat out asked him about conference realignment. And he basically said that's not even a thing now and it doesn't keep him up at night. Either he was putting on a good show or he was just clearly completely caught off guard by this, and that's not good. How can your two most prominent members be be openly looking at another conference and the commissioner doesn't know it.
It's a great point by Stuart, man. It's a great point, man. I don't know. Was he part of the expansion he wanted, or was he naive? Does he deserve to be a commissioner of the Big 12? Because, I mean, you think about KU and K-State and Iowa State, and are you now going to be searching for a conference? Is it going to be dissolved? And you're out there as a free agent saying, batting your eyes, saying, hey, we're good at football, and we're good at basketball, we're good at everything. Please let us be in your conference. And then conference say, well, you're going to have to take a massive pay cut when you come. You're not going to get full benefits of the conference for years because leverage is now with the bigger conference. Leverage is now with the Big Ten. Leverage is with the ACC. Leverage is to the Pac-12. They know that some of these teams are going to be at a desperate time now. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Mom ain't happy. Nobody's happy. I'm shocked that Bob Bowlesby didn't know that this was going down. Now he's caught with his pants down. Like Stuart Mandel said, is a cut I just played. He doesn't lose any sleep over it. Now, that looks silly because now two of the teams, Texas and Oklahoma, the rumor came out from somebody who covers the Texas A&M Aggies for the Houston Chronicle, but Oklahoma did deny it. They danced around it. They didn't say yes either, but smoke became fire. Coaches then addressed it, talked about it, because they know that this is a new era in college football. Name, image, and likeness, conference realignment. Everything is shuffled from digital media now. It's just different. Things are changing. Things are adapting. Hell, I had to get a Cash App. I get it, man. There's so many things that are changing around. But, if I'm KU or K-State, I'm wondering. You've seen those memes with Michael Jackson eating the popcorn? That's the way I feel, just sitting back watching how this whole thing is going to unfold, because I like college sports a ton, huge college football guy, but I am very interested. And I'm looking forward to the SEC. If Texas and Oklahoma are there, it's fun. Going to make those primetime games fun. But again, you know, I'm a big fan of Iowa State, the K-States of the world, the Baylors, Texas. I like watching these teams play. I know they can step up and win. I love smaller towns. I do. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place, and sometimes it's kind of difficult seeing the way they are because they're building something, stepping up. But if you're Matt Campbell, let's take him, for example, at Iowa State. It's built up. Where does he go now? Does he sit there and think about, maybe I will move to the SEC now? Is the Big 12 going to be a track? Well, if they're still around, be able to track coaches, top quality, because will recruits go? Like, what's this going to do to recruiting in KU and K-State and Iowa State for football? Their conference is a nomad, and let me tell you something. These other schools are telling them just what a joke their conference is right now. Trust me, they're hearing about it. We're going to take a time when we come back. Before we go, who knows where this goes and what direction it goes in? I have an idea, though. We'll discuss it next.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
We got to get out of here.
Before we go.
Well, I don't know if you have a trade alert, Rob. I don't have one either, to be honest with you. But there has been a trade in Major League Baseball, pretty big one. A player from a team that has totally peed down their legs. I'm talking ship depends up to Minneapolis. Nelson Cruz, he of 41 years old, and a masher, according to Jeff Passan, has been the Rays finalizing a deal to acquire Nelson Cruz from the Minnesota Twins. Not a major bag alert, but a trade alert. Nice job, Nelson. Nice job, Rays. They're acquiring instead of selling. It's good to see. Anyway, that team had so many expectations. By the way, before we go here, the text line, Rob, I'm obviously very excited about Whataburger. Not only coming to Kansas City, I think it's great. I mean, I see those signs at the K, you know, behind the hitter, and I get kind of excited, you know. Like Pavlov's dogs, I start to salivate. So I'm a big fan. I like In-N-Out too. I'm not one of these people who says, oh, it's trash or this. No. I like it. That's probably where the Oklahoma and Texas people are if they're not on the conference call with the ADs. New phone, who dis? Sir, this is not a Wendy's. Regardless, someone on text line drives for DoorDash, I think. And I said that the one in the Northland, the reason I'm talking about it, he goes, there's one on 40 Highway too, or she. And I said, well, there's six locations. The Northland one's the best. It is like the grand castle greatness place of Whataburger in the city, the franchise. And then I respond that I'm joking because I live in the Northland and I consider everything there the best. But I don't think they're putting a better Whataburger in the Northland, Rob.
I mean, you were telling me the other day the best tacos in the Northland are Taco Bell. So, I mean, you are a big Northland.
That is a flat out and lie by you. You're pulling an Oklahoma and Texas with me.
I am pulling an Oklahoma and Texas. I'm going to tell you, Bob Bowlsby, we're good. Nope. Then I'm going to go behind your back.
Two places in Northland to go. Rancho Grande. That's where I go in the Northland. Or in a tub.
I actually need to try in a tub.
Hey, hell yeah, you do.
I might, when I make my way up to camp, venture back one day, stop in a tub. Just to see what all the hubbub's about.
You got to go through the Northland to get to St. Joe. My God, what are you going to do?
I mean, I don't hate the Northland. I just like giving you, talking crap about the Northland and watching you react. But in a tub is on my to-do list. It's on my thing I need to get eaten in my life list. I don't think they're going to be the best tacos in town. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to trying in a tub one day.
It's a different form of tacos, more powdered cheese variety. Which, by the way, you can make yourself. Just grab a box of macaroni and pour the powdered cheese in your tacos. It's a pleasant surprise. It's called accessorizing. It's like using hot sauce. You find a way to make average things better, Rob. It's just something we...
I cannot believe we're getting cooking advice from you. This is a wild show.
Rob, I can't cook, but I can't grill. But I'm a fine purveyor of great spots coming to the Northland, like Whataburger. I will get you in a tub, but I'm not getting you tacos. Well, first of all, I'm not doing a damn thing until you guys pay me my burrito. But once you do, then I would grab. But bringing somebody tacos is not cool because they get too soft. You got to do it fresh when it's crunchy. You like crunch, Rob? You like crunch?
I do not discriminate with my tacos, but I do like a good crunchy taco.
Good. Had a ton of fun. It's on the podcast page, 610sports.com, and the all-new Odyssey app. You brought in Coach Gary Pinkel on at 3:30. We went down to Oklahoma and talked to Jason Kersey, OU beat writer. Went to Austin and talked to Jeff Ketchum from Orange Blood and Nick Bromberg of Yahoo. As Rob and I were covering the aggressive teams today in the Big 12 as kind of our theme. Huge thanks to Rob Brinton for producing the operation. Thanks to the Kansas City Chiefs for having training camp tomorrow. Christian Ocero, Bake at Night, next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.